God bless you. Yes, I forgot the opening. We're supposed to be at our picnic, and we're not, but we are. Amen? So as you're joining us, we're opening the Word. We're in the book of Hebrews, and I've entitled this sermon, The One. The One. Because that's what it is. If you notice, I have on my shirt that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. The One. Because there is only one way. And we're going to see that here today through the book of Hebrews. But there's also more that we can add to this list when we think of simply saying the one. So from the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, we're going to begin in verse number 1. From the first verse of the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, thus saith the word of the Lord. For the law, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never, by the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, they would not have ceased to be offered, because the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have had consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year by year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. Now, this is a book of Hebrews. Does anybody know what that means to us as the church? Well, I'll give you the answer. It means that this book was written to the Hebraic people who had begun to walk with the Lord, that he was the Messiah. However, many of them began turning back because Jesus was gone and they couldn't sacrifice anymore. So they were turning back to the temple system. And what we understand from this word is Jesus here, as he was here, spoke these words. Here Paul is reminding us of these words, that Jesus was given a body. What was he given the body for? Well, the very one thing that he was given the body for was that that body would be offered up for us, a sacrifice once and for all, for all time. For there is only one sacrifice that would pay the price for all eternity, and that is the sacrifice of God himself. Because bulls and goats and sheep and pigeons and doves, all of them are temporal. And they only are as good as what they are, a temporal thing. So the next time you sinned, that blood was washed away. But the eternal blood of the Lamb of God is here to wash over us once and for all, and it never goes away. There is one sacrifice for sin, and we all know that. The world needs to understand that. Because there are many people who will come to Christ and they'll walk with Christ, but then they never really give up some of the other things that they do that they look as penance. You know, and I hate to say it, but even in the church today, there are still those who think they need to do penance. What? You and I can't do anything to get us into heaven. There is nothing we can do except believe on the one who is. And that is the truth that our world needs to understand, that we need to understand. Oh, but if I just do this good thing, are you going to barter with God? Really? How many of us are guilty of that? How many of you want to raise your hands and show that you're guilty of that? Yeah, I didn't think so. Well, there's one. Thank you, Miss Jen. There's an honest lady. But in our hearts, we're all being convicted right now, not because of me, but because we know the word is true. And that's one of the things I want us to understand as we come into this, the one. Is he sufficient? That's the question that runs through our heads. Do you realize that? Is he really sufficient? Aren't my sins so bad that nothing can, I got to do something else? Because how that happened 2,000 years ago. I wasn't even here. I got to be able to do something that's better. No. I think it's funny. How many of you are watching what they're trying to do over in Israel right now? Yeah. They are literally making preparations to slaughter the red heifer. They're literally making preparations to build the Temple Mount. They are, and I'm not kidding you, everything is turning right now. Why do they want to do that? Because they want to bring this old sacrificial system back into existence because they haven't been able to sacrifice. What did Paul say? Hey, it's gone. Why do you think it's gone? You don't need it anymore. But what does man do? Oh, we got to do something. How many of us should just sit down and look to the one and realize he is capable, he is able. And if he says my sins are gone, where are they? Gone. So stop bringing them back. If they're dead, let them be dead. And don't go back to them. Let them stay where they belong. From verse 8. After saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the sacrifices which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us. For after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them, after those days, said the Lord, I will put my laws upon your heart, and on their mind I will write them. He then says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. Brothers and sisters, again, we come back to this reality that here the Hebrew people, they were going back to something, and we keep going back. We just got to do better. We've got to. Would you stop, see your mistakes, and move forward? But isn't it amazing? Because we try to drag everybody back with us. Yeah, but you need to understand, you need to be on my side of this thing. We need to get right with him. You and I will never be right. We're always going to be messed up. How many of you sin every day? If your hand ain't in the air, you're a liar, so put your hand in the air because you just sin. We're going to mess up. When are you going to realize that one sacrifice was for all your mess ups? See your mess up and move forward. Admit your mess up and move forward. Don't do it again. God walks around with a 4x4. How many of you know that? Pastor, what do you mean by that? God disciplines us. Now, I'm being vulgar in saying he walks around with a 4x4. But the reality is some of us need that 4x4. Some of us need a 6x6. And y'all know me. All right? I'm an open book when it comes to this stuff. He had to break my hip and my knee. And if he's going to do it to me, do you think he ain't going to do it to you? You ain't no better than me. And I'll guarantee you, when you submit to him, when you understand what he's telling us here, that hey, come on, folks. What's he tell us here? I will put my laws upon their heart and on their mind I will write them. How many of us have his laws on our heart and on our mind? Does anybody understand what that's even talking about? That's talking about the Holy Spirit being in you. He ties the mind and the heart together, because who is the Holy Spirit? He is God, right? And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word So if the Holy Spirit is God and he's in us, where's the Word of God? It's in our heart and it's in our mind. He is in our heart and he is in our mind. It's all here. Stop pretending like it's not. Stop ignoring the one who is here to walk with us and to give us glory and to show us the paths of righteousness that we should all be walking in. It's an amazing thing, but how many of us are fallen? You know, how many of you, you know, and I love it. You know, I've fallen and I can't get up. That's my life. That's a motto. I ought to have that on the back of my shirt. I've fallen and I can't get up. By myself, I can't. But in Christ Jesus, he raises me up. He picks me up and he says, you've seen that you did wrong. That's all I need you to do. See that you did wrong. Admit that you did wrong and now move forward. You don't have to pay a priest. You don't have to kill a cow. Good glory, if we all had to kill a cow every time we did something, we'd all be broke. But remember this, we are all broken. But it is in that brokenness that the hope and the love of Jesus Christ fills us to overflowing, and we can live a life of joy and a life of goodness into our world. Because our world's broken. Our world's dealing with this, and they're trying to walk with it in so many different ways. How many of us know friends who are out there in the world? They're trying their best to get this stuff right. Well, I just got to clean this up. Well, I'm not even going to admit that I do that. We all do it. And I dare say that right now I'm looking at a bunch of people that continue to do it. And when I look in the mirror, I see another one. Because we are all broken. We are all fallen. But Jesus is our reassurance. He is the one who has come. He says that, you know, hey, these priests, day by day, can you imagine if you had to come to me and get forgiveness of sins every day? I'd quit. You'd be looking for a new pastor real fast. I couldn't handle it. No man can. No man can. That is a burden that we're not supposed to carry. Jesus came to carry that burden for us. And you know, where does the priest go? I think it's funny. The priest goes to bed, gets up in the morning, starts over again. Where did Jesus go? He went to the right hand of God the Father. He ain't doing it over again. Once and done. Once and done. That's it. Ain't no more. Do you believe it? I just asked you a question. Do you believe it?
Yes.
That's where we need to stand. The one, the only. Because when we stand in the one, we understand we're going to sin. You know, how many of you out there think you're never going to sin again? If you're that holy, I would like to meet you. Because there ain't no one that holy. But thanks be to God that Jesus Christ is. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And in that, when we turn to him, every one of us finds forgiveness and hope for a better tomorrow, because this is the only way sin can be defeated. He said the sacrifice of bulls and lambs cannot take away sin. They can't. But the Holy Spirit in us, that's why the word is written on our hearts and on our minds, can take sin away. He can transform us that we will no longer want to sin. How many of you in Christ Jesus have found victory in some things in the world and you don't, man, I don't do that anymore? That's what I'm talking about. And that's the reality. Only Christ can take sin away, but only to the extent that we allow him, because we're the ones who stop it. We're the ones who delay it. The day will come when we're going to be made perfect and we'll never sin again. How many of you are waiting for that day? Oh man, I know I am. But until that day, I'm a work in progress. You know, I've told you all this. If you've been with me for any length of time, I've told you this all the ministry of my life. My mother used to tell me I was the most trying person she ever met. And I have found that in Christ Jesus to be a wonderful thing. He wants us to try. To try to succeed. We're going to fail many times, but Jesus says it's okay. I got you covered. I got you covered. You never have to worry as long as you turn back to me and you try again. And you never give up. You admit your sin. You repent thereof. That's the key word. Repent thereof, meaning turn from your sin. Recognize it. Walk away from it. Get out of the stink. And walk into the wholeness and holiness of God. As we look at what he's doing, what he's leading us to, it's understanding that, you know, when we continually go back to this stuff, there is no longer any offering for sin. What does he mean by that? Here the Hebrews were, they had begun to follow Jesus, and Jesus was gone, and so now they're going back to the temple worship, and they're offering sacrifices again. What? There is no longer a sacrifice for sin. Once God has delivered you, you are delivered. That's why God had to have the temple tore down. But what's man doing right now? We're trying to rebuild it. 2,000 years later, we're trying to rebuild it. And how many of you understand that this is part of the reason things are in such turmoil in our world? Because I'm going to tell you all right now, and I'm going to step down here because I don't want struck by lightning. The reason our world is in such turmoil is because we aren't ready to see God. Y'all got to remember something. When that temple was in order, when that temple was working, where was God? His foot was on the ground. Everybody knew where he was. You ready for him to come back? I verily, verily say unto thee, and in my own sin, no, Lord, I'm not. For no sinful eye shall see the glory of God. Didn't we just sing that song? Brothers and sisters, we are not ready. But Christ is making us ready. Can I get an amen? I need him every day. I need him every moment because he is the only sacrifice for sin. Can you imagine what's going to happen in this world if they wreck that temple and God shows up? I'm going to tell you right now, that temple won't last very long. And we all know, if you've read the book of Revelation, how many of you have read the book of Revelation? Who enters into that temple? Because it becomes an unholy place. Can I get an amen? And that's what I want you all to understand. When we try to do it, it becomes an unholy thing. But in Christ Jesus, it is holy. And we need to hold it as holy because we don't want to trample underfoot that thing of holiness, that one of holiness who is the Son of God, the one way unto salvation, which is verses 19 through. For he says, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated through us, inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. As we look at where we are going, we should not be torn apart by these things, but we need to enter into that holy place. We have a right to be there. Jesus has given us that right. Not that we are holy, but that he is, and that we have believed it, and we have come under him. And through the unction of the Holy Spirit, we have submitted ourselves unto him for the deliverance and full assurance of our faith, that me, an unworthy sinner who has repented, can enter into the relationship with a holy God who will love me and raise me up and transform me. I am the one who needs to change. I can't change anybody else. In fact, it's a hard thing to change yourself. Can I get an amen? But in the face of Christ, each and every one of us can be transformed, because it's his transformers, it's his image that he wants to come out in each and every one of us. And I'm going to tell you all right now, you're all going to look different than me, even though we're pursuing the same image. Why is that? How does that work? I don't understand this. What do you mean we're all going to look different? God has created each and every one of us individually. We all have different personalities. He wants you to be you. He doesn't want a cookie cutter of Jesus. He simply wants you to understand Jesus is the model that we are to work after, to be what he wants us to be in this world. He needs carpenters. He needs auto mechanics. He needs. Why does he need them? Because it's the only way our world works. You and I aren't God. We can't make it all happen by ourselves. We need each other. Hence what he says here at the end, and I love it. He says, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some. You know, it's just kind of neat, because the Lord laid this on my heart to preach this, and I'm going to tell you, this is a truth. I generally have sermons well in advance. Guess when God dropped this sermon on Pastor Rich? Saturday night. Thank you, Pastor David. I have been praying all week, Lord, I don't know what I'm preaching. And he just kept telling me, yes, you do. And Saturday night, last night, 10 o'clock, I'm sitting at my desk with my hand in my face. And I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm preaching. He says, yeah, you do. Yes, you do. I said, Father, I don't. You got to tell me. He said, I already have. He's just so carefree with full assurance. And I said, what? He said, well, who's the one you believe? And I said, Jesus the Christ. He said, yeah. Tell him. I said, well, what scripture? What scripture? Because I'm always looking for the scripture. What scripture? He said, you choose. And I'm like, oh my God. He said, yes. You think I'm lying to you? I ain't. This is my life. And I love it, but it's scary at times, because I don't know everything. And then he just simply said to me, it's one of your favorite scriptures. And I said, well, that's the book of Hebrews. He said, yeah, you know it. You know me. Teach them what you know. So here I am, giving myself, because it's who he's given me. He's given me the one. There is no other sacrifice. I can't go back. I can't go back to what I was. I can't go back to the things I tried to do, because they don't work. How many of us keep trying to go back? And it don't work. You can't keep doing the same thing and expect different results. It doesn't happen. It's only when we come under his authority. It's only when we come under the fellowship. And I'm going to tell you, that's where I find solace. In you. You know, I think it's funny. There's a whole bunch of sets of eyes looking forward here at me. But I'm looking at you. Why? Because you are the ones who help guide me. You have no idea what this does for me. Because I get to look at each and every one of you. And when I see your lives changing, and they have changed. How many of you are a different person than you were when you first saw this ugly face? You betcha. And it's amazing because it's in your change. It's in how God uses you and brings you into this place of faith that encourages me. I see the word at work. And oh, what a work I see. And I love what he's doing. But we're not done. The cake can't come out of the oven just yet. But it's hot in here. Yeah. But he's making a masterpiece. And he says, you're worth it. So we're going to stay under the heat. We're going to stay under the pressure. But we're going to come together as one. And we're going to be a body of believers who together we can strengthen one another. Because I can't make it without you and you can't make it without me. You might think you could, but you can't. None of us are there. For heaven's sakes, even the army took that ad down. We can't be an army of one, but we can be one in God's army. Can I say amen? Amen? So as we come, then what do we do? Where do we go? How does this continue? Verses 26 to 31, and that's where we wrap up. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectance of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. As we read those words and as we wrap up today, I will say unto each and every one of you, and I say it to myself, we can no longer try to pay for our sins. Our sins have been paid for by Jesus Christ. All we can do is bring them under the cross and under his submission. Admit them. Remember what you've done and do it no more. As much as you are able. How many of you are able to never do it again? In some instances, we have victory. Can I get an amen? And to that we speak the glory of God. Amen. But where we have trial, where we have trouble, we continue to bring it to the cross of Jesus Christ and we let it there every time. Because it is only in the cross of Christ that we will see heaven. It is only in the cross of Christ that we will see victory. You may have to struggle with some of the things that are going through your life right now for a long time. But don't worry, the day will come when you will struggle with it no more. And in that day, you will find, just as was spoken to Paul, when he said, Lord, Lord, please take this thorn from my side. What did God say to him? Enough! My grace is sufficient. Some of us need to carry some of these things with us to keep us what? Humble. And that means you need to struggle with it. And you're going to struggle with it. If you're truly in Christ, there is no more sacrifice for sin, and you know it. So you've got to work with this thing. And it's going to be the thing that keeps bringing you back to the cross, that keeps you in mind that he is God and I am not. And in that may you find joy, because in the suffering there is what? Joy in the suffering. What is the joy? It is the hope of Christ in each and every one of us, because we know we can't. As soon as we think we can, and as soon as we think we're there, what happens? We stop. How many of you know I'm right? Yeah, nobody wants to raise their hand on that one. I don't blame you. I wouldn't either. Because we are a broken people. But we serve a whole and holy God. And He knows what we need. And He knows who we need. And He is the one. So when we come together as one body, we are operating in the one who brings us the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other. We cannot turn to anything else except the one. Pray with me. Father God, we come before you, the one. And we open our hearts to you this day as we gather as the one body known as the Heart of Christ Church. Lord, we lift ourselves up to you in worship because it's the only thing we have that is ours, is the truth of our hearts, rent unto you. So as we come to the one who is our salvation, who is our God, who is Jesus the Christ, may we be made whole and wholly thine in all that we are and do. Yes, Lord, we know we're going to mess up. Each and every one of us is going to. We're going to disappoint one another. But the reality is, Lord, in that disappointment, it simply gives us the ability to walk yet again with a brother or sister, knowing that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And as we submit to you, we are the one who is changed by the one who is our God, who is Jesus the Christ, in whose name we pray. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.